You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We kick off the pre-election show with a sense of how the markets have been moving ahead of probably the most important vote that we've had in recent times as a country. And who better to take a look at this than a gentleman who has seen many, many elections in his very blessed lifetime. That's David Shapiro of Sasfin Wealth. Good evening, Uncle David. Haven't spoken to you in so long. Are you excited for tomorrow's election?
Oh, I'm just curious, more so than excited. I just have to walk across a road and vote. I'm very fortunate. And the other unfortunate part, Jimmy, is I'm over 65. So they take me right to the front of the queue. I do not have to queue.
Oh, that's such... See, this is the one time I wish I had a pensioner's discount towards voting. I think tomorrow's going to be a very exciting day. I imagine there's a lot that's going to go into the sentiment around the voting after that. I think all of it has been priced in as much as can be possibly priced in at this stage. Are you expecting that we'll see any late market movements from the US, given that they know that tomorrow will be closed for us?
I don't think so. I think whichever way you look at it, the ANC will still be influential. And from a market point of view, I think that's that will steady markets, that will steady nerves. You know, the Rand's at 18.26 at the moment. I think it's more to do with a bit of dollar weakness. So I think the markets have really discounted the fact that regardless of whether it's 40, 45, whatever it is, you know, you're still going to have a coalition government or a full, full majority by the ANC, and I think that's going to things will remain the same. And I don't think, I don't think there'll be any reaction. It might change if, when we know, you know, if the ANC don't get the majority, which partners they choose, that might influence things. But it's pretty steady. I thought there'd be more volume today, Jimmy. You know, it was virtually 15 billion, which is hardly anything. There might be a bit of nervousness, but not a lot of movement today ahead of the election.
Uncle David, when we look at the currency, it's strengthened to around 18 Rand. We probably forecast that, depending on the outcome of the election, if we can get a couple of things right, 17.50, maybe even 17 Rand is on the cards. But when we look at the Rand going into tomorrow, given that we won't know, obviously, the results immediately, we might find them out by, say, Friday or so in terms of those elections, are we expecting that the Rand will move in any particular direction, or is it mainly going to be a wait and see?
It's probably a wait and see, but you know, as long as there's no rioting, as long as there's no eruptions or anything of that nature, if it goes along smoothly, I think the Rand is on a strengthening course. And I say the strengthening course because I'm quite positive on markets. I think that we're going to go into a period of stronger equity markets, global markets. I just looked at the consumer confidence number in the US. It's up, you know, well ahead of expectations. So I think generally sentiment is improving globally. We're going to see rates start coming down, a move towards growth. And from that point of view, the dollar will give up a little bit of ground, which I think is going to favor the Rand and also favor commodity prices. So I don't think you're far off with your 17.50, you know, or even stronger. And when it moves, Jimmy, it moves fast. You know, you don't have a chance to think. They don't say, hold on, Jimmy, we're not going to move until you've done, you know, bought Rand. Once you've bought, you know, we'll move. It doesn't work that way. It moves with immaculate speed. So I think, I'm favoring a much stronger Rand, not for reasons of a stronger local economy or anything to do with it, mainly to do with international issues, which are good, which are positive.
When we look at local conditions, I want to look at some of the sectors. In the past, you and I have spoken about the fact that some of the banks are discounted at this stage, but they also have to contend with the potential for higher defaults, with the higher for longer narrative that continues. Where do we then look for value or areas of opportunity post the elections, sort of regardless of the outcome? What kind of stocks are you seeing that at the moment might be undervalued or even oversold?
It's difficult. I'm looking all the time. You know, I'm trying to pick up in results. I think where it will come, Jimmy, is not necessarily from the election, but rather from Eskom and Transnet and issues of that nature as they improve and, from a comparative basis, we start to see a pickup. You're already seeing it in food companies. Inflation starts to come down. So all the fundamentals start to favor, you know, start to point in the right direction.
Mm.
And I think that's going to give the market a bit of a movement as well. I'm watching very carefully. You know, even there's a lot of restructuring taking place. I'm trying to find the bottom of some of the commodity shares as well. It's not easy to predict where that bottom is. I see platinum shares under a bit of pressure as well. But I think your banks, I think, are very favorable. I think if rates start to come down, you know, they're incredibly well run. Their balance sheets are solid. They've managed the, you know, the kind of negative economy here pretty well. So they still remain a favorable sector. But looking at food producers, maybe retailers, no signs yet. I think more the clothing retailers have held up pretty well. I think Jimmy, the grocery retailers, you know, as we see with Pick and Pay and Spar, I think that's more managerial. You know, so your Woolies will probably and ShopRite will stand out as well. So I think we're going to have a fairly good market in the second half for a number of reasons, you know, mainly to do with rates coming down, better Eskom, Transnet, some of those issues being addressed, and also generally, you know, commodity prices picking up and that. So you can start backing it now. Don't be scared of the market.
I remember a time when we had a conversation earlier in the year, and it was be very scared of the market, be very wary of the market. And I think things have definitely settled down from that perspective.
I have to tell you something now. I'm just looking at the US market, and I'm looking at Nvidia, which is up almost 6%. It has a market cap now of $2.8 trillion. Okay, now, why I'm bringing that up is that it's slowly creeping up the ladder, because Apple is at about 2.9 or just over 2.9. And, you know, another move like today, and Nvidia then becomes the second most valuable company on the, you know, in the world. Well, not in the world, sorry, in the US after Microsoft. So that's a good sign.
The same company that's done 32% in return in the month of May alone, yes, single-handedly bringing up the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, without a doubt. I wonder how much further upside there is to that, Uncle David. How do you pick the top there?
Well, you know, when you start to read reports, it doesn't look expensive relative to the sales that they're producing. And today, the movement came today because Elon Musk, have you ever heard of him? Elon Musk announced his startup, which is a $6 billion startup in AI. And he's going to use NVIDIA's, the H100 GPU, that's the chip, you know, the graphics processing chip. So, you know, $6 billion, these are the kind of sales they're producing, and they're well ahead in terms of their technology. So this has still got the potential to go higher. I know a lot of grumpy people out there who haven't got NVIDIA and have missed NVIDIA, you know, curse when we talk like this. But it's, you know, it's still looking. It's the momentum is still behind it.
Uncle David, those guys that have missed NVIDIA, yeah, right? I had a look at Intel. Intel was down 30% last month, and they've been struggling as well because they haven't been keeping up with the pace that NVIDIA has been keeping up with. But they are also a chip manufacturer. Is this the time for someone to then perhaps say, let's find an alternative that might be able to catch up and remove the concentration risk?
Yeah, dead right. I tell you what I've been buying. For people who are a bit nervous, there's a ETF called SOX, S-O-X-X, and it has a number of chip producers in it. And with a big exposure to NVIDIA, make no error, you know, about a 10% exposure to NVIDIA, but it's got Qualcomm and Broadcom and AMD and all the other Intel. It's got all of those in, and it's quite concentrated. So for anybody a little nervous of where NVIDIA is, knowing that chip manufacturers are going to benefit because they're all working furiously hard to try and catch up. You know, there is an ETF, SOXX. So it hasn't had quite the performance of NVIDIA, but it's okay.
Interestingly enough, I'm having a look at that. It lost about 66% or so in the month of March, but having rallied all the way to just shy of 700 points from that perspective, it's now sitting at about 242, bouncing off of a level of 200. So that might actually be a very good entry for investors looking for a bit of exposure. It's the iShares Semiconductor ETF. I might be interested in that one as well.
Yeah, have a look at it. You know, you can go onto the internet and just look what the composition is, and you know, you'll see the underlying businesses. But it's a nice alternative.
It absolutely is. And speaking of alternatives, we'll have to dig into these and other stories after the elections. I think we've run out of time. We'll leave it at that. Thanks, as always, Uncle David, for the time. David Shapiro of Sasfin Wealth on being optimistic regardless of the election outcome and starting to get your investment choices in now.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.